Big Hurt Weird Adventures.
Lights up on Washington Heights, up at the break of day. I wake up and I got this little punk I gotta chase away. Pop the grate at the crack of dawn, sing while I wipe down the awning.
Hey, y'all, good morning.
Ice cold piragua, palcha, china, cherry, strawberry, and just for today, I got my mate.
Oye, piragüero, ¿cómo está?
Como siempre, señor Usnavi.
Ice cold piragua, palcha, china.
I am Usnavi, and you probably never heard my name. Reports of my fame are greatly exaggerated, exacerbated by the fact that my syntax is highly complicated, because I immigrated from the single greatest little place in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic. I love it. Jesus, I'm jealous of it, and beyond that, ever since my folks passed on, I haven't gone back. God damn, I gotta get on that. Oh, the milk is gone bad. Hold up just a second. Why is everything in this fridge warm and tepid? I better step it up and fight the heat, because I'm not making any profit if the coffee isn't light and sweet.
Good morning, Big Hat. I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. Hey, guys, it's Wade. This is a very special, very fun episode that me and Heck wanted to have some fun with. Oh, guys, for you that don't know, this is The Lavish One, your friendly neighborhood podcaster, Wade Ilson, alongside
the one and only Mr. Fast and Furious himself, a.k.a. the anime anarchist, the messiah of anime, Big Heck.
Yes, sir. But this isn't a normal episode for us, Hack. We wanted to have a little fun here, and yeah. We're not doing any pickups. We're not doing any cool comic book news. We're not doing any of that. We're doing our first quick, short, not long, maybe 15, 20 minutes, depending on how long we talk and how much we're, I'm going to steal a phrase from the Scream Queens, gooped and gagged about this awesome movie that we just saw this weekend. Both of us saw. Mm-hmm. I saw it from the comfort of my own home. Big Heck decided to make a travel with the fam to the movies. And Big Heck, can you please share with our audience what movie we're talking about?
So we are going to be discussing the highly anticipated, much loved on Broadway, In the Heights. And I'm going to go on record. I am not one who is normally amped or overly excited for musical movies. But I will say this. After watching Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda has now put musicals on a whole new pedestal for me in anything that he is backed at this point. I have to instantly watch.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and fun fact.
Good.
From what I was told, this was the first one he did on Broadway before Hamilton.
I can reconfirm that with my theater source. I will mm-hmm. reconfirm later on, and I will let you know. But yeah, I believe so. I believe this is one of his big plays before Hamilton. We yep. can always be corrected. We love, we you know, we're human. We're subject to error. But yeah. This movie is a play, an American musical that was released on Broadway and is now coming to theaters. It is done by the creator of Hamilton and the director of Crazy Rich Asians. So there's a little bit of fun for everybody here, because mm-hmm. I know I've never seen Crazy Rich Asians. I don't know if you have.
I have seen it many, many times.
Yeah.
It is hysterical to watch.
Okay. I have to check it out.
Yeah. Our girl, well, definitely mine, Awkwafina is in it.
Okay.
And she is a gem in that film.
Awesome.
Like
awesome.
Absolute gem. Like she actually made the comedic points in that film so much. It amplified the film for me.
Mm-hmm. But we're not here to talk about that, man. We gotta get
right,
in
we're
in
not
the
here
heights.
To talk about this. We're not here to talk about it.
We're hyped. I'm so hyped to talk about In the Heights. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a few questions before we get started, Heck. Mm-hmm. In the Heights, can you tell me your favorite song off the I know there was a Broadway musical and there were some songs that didn't make the cut for the movie, but I'm talking about the original motion picture soundtrack. What is one of your favorite songs? I'm gonna give you mine, but I'm gonna let you go first.
So my absolute favorite song out of everything in the motion picture is Carnaval de Barrio. My favorite song.
Ooh, banger, 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 banger.
It's just a good
song, bro. It's so fire. You nailing it right now with the picks.
I'm telling you, me and the missus, we actually went out earlier tonight, and the song we listened to on the way home was Carnaval de Barrio.
Okay.
And we were just jamming out the whole way. Like we even parked once we got home, and because the song wasn't done, we let the song play out before we got out of the car. Like you can't just stop that song midway.
Yeah, you
that's hella disrespectful.
You gotta let the whole song rock.
Let it rock.
Okay. One of my favorite songs is, and this really like sets the tone, and this is what we're gonna start with, is the In the Heights song itself, the opening track. We meet Usnavi, who basically gives us his rundown of what's going on and how his day is and explains the neighborhood, and we get to meet so many different characters throughout. We meet Abuela, who is not really, you know, his abuela, but she's the abuela to the hood, so everybody knows her in the Heights, you know. We meet Benny, who I know from Corey Hawkins, who I know from Straight Outta Compton, and he played Dr. Dre, but he was also in The Walking Dead. It escapes me who the character was in The Walking Dead, but he had like dreadlocks and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then we meet Vanessa, Usnavi's love interest.
Right.
Sonny, who was a fan favorite of mine. I love Sonny. Sonny was dope. And we met the salon girls in this song too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But
you start seeing everybody as like right in the beginning, like when everyone starts waking up.
Yeah.
And then as the day is progressing, like you see everyone like getting their day started.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we start cutting to different people for the film.
Right. And everybody was walking in the store, and we meet I always call him, what was the term? Yeah, Jimmy Smits. We were always like, yo, he always plays that dad who you don't want to disappoint.
It's true. I was like, yo, I was like, what is this?
Like, God damn it, Jimmy Smits. You always do this to me. Why you got to play the dad who's like put so much pressure on the child? And then when the child's like, it's too much for me, dad. He's like, this is what you do. This is how you do. And we'll get into that in a minute. Okay. I'm just having so much fun talking about this with you because we can like literally talk about this all day. That's what we did yesterday. And then we decided to hop on the mic and just talk about this movie, man. But we find out that Usnavi was talking about, you know, how his day went. He owns the bodega and his plan is to go back to DR. Right?
Right.
Go back to DR. And he wants to... Heck, I forget. How did he go about this? Did he just go to somebody and talk to them? Go ahead.
No, so the older gentleman that you see him talking to in the film is a lawyer. So the lawyer had flew out to DR because he was looking for his dad's bar that he remembers, you know, when he was growing up, that he used to help his dad with. So in the movie, he calls it his El Sueñito, which is his little dream. And his dream is to go back to DR, basically, you know, shut down everything here in New York. And he wants to go back and revitalize his dad's bar. And then he wants to run it. And that's his dream.
Okay. So that was like, wait, well, how do you do this? And then we see everyone has like a nice little subplot to them. And we're finding out what they're doing. And they're like, they're all trying to have their big dreams somehow. I think that was like one of the main factors in the movie.
Right.
everybody in the Heights had a very big dream and had goals. Like Vanessa was, hers was to get out of the hood and to be rich and famous for her fashion design.
Right.
Benny, who I love, Benny was one of my favorite characters too, because he was just that, he just was so smooth and suave. But the thing that made it funny was whenever Nina came around, he was like, he got soft. He was like, not soft, but you know what I mean? Like he got tongue-tied and flustered, right. and the cool just faded away whenever Nina walked in the room.
So I have to mention the part because I thought it was funny as hell. And like we all laughed our asses off when it happened in the film. When you see Benny, he's doing the dispatching, and then he tells Nina to get on the mic and, you know, say good morning. And when she walks out, the one of the lady dispatchers is there. She stands up when everything is done and she looks at him and she's like, yo, you thirsty.
Yo,
we fell out laughing.
Yo, she was like, you're thirsty as hell. I was like, damn. Yeah, she's like, you're thirsty as hell. Damn.
And just like blew up his spot right after she left.
Word, blew up his spot, bro. And then one of the things that was so funny to me was there were little differences in the movie and the musical, and I'm going to share the ones I know about. And if there's any more that anybody would like to share, please hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, at Big Heck Weight ADV on Twitter, at Big Heck Weight Adventures on Instagram. We are part of a lavish network. We're going to get into that later. But some of the differences that were told to me was the whole 96,000, which is a huge turning point in the story.
Right.
Everybody kept coming in, playing the lottery. And we thought that was just like a big, you know, like, okay, it's typical. Bodegas have that, you know. Everybody's doing their thing there. And we find out there's 96,000 on the line. So somebody won. It was Abuela. She won. But
we don't know about that yet.
We didn't know about that yet. So that was something we were like, oh, okay, who won? Like, who won? Like, that was the big part of trying to figure out who it was, because it wasn't any of the girls in the salon. By the way, Kuka was a character written for the movie. She was not in the original Broadway play.
And I got to talk about Kuka for a minute, yo. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It just sounds so weird saying that name on the show.
It's strange for you,
yeah,
I guess. But in reality, full disclosure, I'm not really Samoan, in case anybody wants to know.
It's a running gag.
It's a running gag. It's just a gag that we have. I'm 100% Puerto Rican. You know, both sides of my family are Puerto Rican.
Full blown.
So I hear the name Kuka, it doesn't sound foreign to me. It sounds native. It's home, because in the Hispanic culture, yo, there's at least one person you've ever come across in your life, and she ended up with that nickname, Kuka. And it's like, oh damn, like I know somebody named Kuka. And you're watching the film and you're like, yo, like for real, like I remember like Kuka used to be this one lady who used to chop it up with my grandmother, like, and she'd be like, oh, yo está hablando con Kuka. And I'm like, grandma, who's Kuka? And she's like, and you just start laughing, because like a lot of this is like it hits home. Because at some point you know somebody like a Benny or an Usnavi or a Kuka. And you're just like, yo, like this is hysterical to me.
Yeah, it was, man. Like, and another thing was, I didn't know, like, shout out to Jess. We're going to give shout outs if anybody says anything to us about the movie, because they actually give us like feedback. So right. I know that Daniela and Carla were not like in a relationship. Like that wasn't in the play, but it was in for the movie. So they changed up certain things. I do love how one of my favorite scenes again is in the salon. See, it's the little details. It's the little details that you catch when I think it was Carla that was explaining to Vanessa that she said that she heard, you know, this is what salons do. Like they talk shit about everything and they have little rumors. She was like,
it's called the bonchinche.
The bonchinche, the tea. So yeah, she comes in and she's like, I heard Usnavi was messing with some chick or whatever, and they smashed. And Vanessa was like, he would never mess with a girl like that. And then the funny part was all the mannequin heads with all the wigs on them turned and were like, girl, like,
and she was like, tell me you're lying. She's like, okay, I just wanted to see what your reaction was.
Yep.
I was like, ah, he played her.
Exactly. And then they're like, yo, he likes you. Like, you're stupid. He gives you all your coffee for free. He never charges you.
Yo, can we talk about how Usnavi is such a, for someone who has, like, to me, like, Usnavi's got, like, that natural swag. Like, he's got a natural drip to him. But for someone who's got so much drip, he got real tongue-tied real quick. Like, he was worse than Benny around Nina. Anytime Word. Vanessa walked into the spot, he was just like,
Word. Freaking Sonny had to... He better give Sonny mad props, because Sonny was the one that got him the damn date in the first place.
Exactly.
Sonny bailed him out. He was like, hey. I like,
yeah, how it took his 16-year-old cousin exactly to act like a goofball and to get him the date.
A goofball and be smooth. He's like, hey, so what does it take for a gentleman to get your attention, a young lady like yourself? And she was like, wait. She knew exactly what he was talking about. So she went over to his Navi and she's like, you got to stand on your shirt, and then got the tight stick and cleaned him up. And then he was acting like he was the man, like he was the one that got the date. That's what was funny to me too.
Man, I was
cracking up, bro.
You don't get out of here with that.
Yeah, man. It was just so funny. It was so good. This movie is so good. And
there was a lot of serious points in the
film. A lot of it too. And we're going to get into those. But heck, I was going to share the Easter egg, but I know you caught it and you texted me when you caught it. You're like, yo, I can't believe they pulled that off. Like, that was so cool. Mm-hmm. You want to share a little Easter egg?
Yeah. Go ahead and share it.
Okay. No, oh, you want me to do it? You sure?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I know you popped because I got, this is something that happens within the Big Heck Wade Adventures text message group. So what happens is when something really crazy pops off in a movie or something that one of us has seen before the other, or we're watching at the same time, there's a lot of exclamation points and everything is in caps. So the cool Easter egg is, like we said, Lin-Manuel Miranda was the creator of Hamilton. So he liked to tie some of his stuff in. And I appreciate when people tie in stuff from old movies or old things that they've done into current things they're doing. So Jimmy Smits, the dad, was on the phone with Nina's school, Stanford. And Nina had told him that, you know, she like a whole bunch of BS, like she was coming up with different lines all the time. So it never stayed the same story. So he called to see if the period had ended so she can register again. While he's waiting for the phone call to go through, the song, one of the King songs, starts playing as the waiting music, and I bust out laughing. And I was like, yo, they got that off. They got that off. So lovely.
Yo, Carmen she brought it to my attention, and I'm sitting there because I'm like so zoned into the film. And she's like, babe, do you hear the waiting song? The cold waiting song, and I'm listening to it, and then I was like, nah. I was like, it's from Hamilton, and she starts laughing. She's like, oh, I'm loving this movie so much now. She's like, forget it.
It was just good, man. It was just funny. But let's get into the serious stuff that went down, because with every good part of the movie, there was like a good song or a good flow or something else happened. It had to have its drama, and things were different. So first, we get to you want to start with the club scene? Because that's where it really started to pop off.
Nah, I think we need to go a little bit further back than that. Okay. So, in the beginning of the movie, like you know, Usnavi's talking about all the people, you know, that's going to be in the film. You know, he's talking about all the people from the block. So, Mr. Rosario, which is Jimmy Smith's character, is the one who owns, I guess, like a taxi cab, right? Like a car service.
Yeah.
So he owns a car service, and he's talking about how, you know, he's working every day to put his daughter through school, which is Nina, and everything else. And he tells Usnavi that he's excited because Nina came in last night. She's back home from college. he can't wait to see her. So we can fast forward a little bit to where Nina now is now having lunch with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you just said, she's telling him, like, you know, we missed the deadline, this and the third. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you know all of this? And she says, oh, well, I gave the financial office my information and I had it changed. And he's like, why would you do that? And he was like, she said, because I don't want you making another crazy decision.
Mm-hmm.
So originally, Rosarios used to be bigger, but he sold half of the building that he owned, or, you know, half of that portion, so that he can pay for Nina's college.
Mm-hmm.
She's just feeling out of place there, and she's feeling so guilty that her dad is literally working himself to the bone, and then now had to sacrifice half of the building that he had in order to pay for her college.
Right.
And then she's feeling everything. Like, she's feeling like she's being pulled in, you know, two different directions. She feels like she feels completely out of place there in Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she basically wants to drop. Like, she doesn't want to go back.
Right.
You know, Jimmy gets upset or Rosario, and he gets up and he's like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't talk finances with me. Like, mm-hmm. you're not the parent. Like, don't worry about that. That's not your job. Like, you don't handle that. You don't tell me how much I can pay.
Right.
I do that.
Right.
Now, as a parent myself,
yeah,
I felt that.
Right.
Like, if Ariana and I'm kayfabing here now, because this is, you know, if Ariana or Emily were to ever pull a song like that with me, like, I'd be hot. Like, you don't sit there and tell me what me and your mother can afford. Like, we tell you what we can afford.
Right.
Come hella high water, we'll figure it out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got this. You just do what you got to do and don't worry about financials. We take care of financials.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt that.
Right. And as a parent, you know, I understand where you're coming from. But Nina was like, she, you know why? She was trying to BS it, but she didn't say the truth until we got to the dinner scene.
Yeah.
That was when it was like, oh, okay. Now I get it. Like,
yeah.
She said she felt she didn't belong. And she even said that in the song with Benny. That I love that scene when they were going running through their childhood and they were talking about everything. By the way, Benny had two of the best songs. Like, he was killing the dispatch.
Word.
Killing the dispatch. So, yo, Benny.
Then got called down, got told he was thirsty.
But
so disrespectful.
So disrespectful. But Nina was basically, I think we're like jumping all over the place. Nina was, we'll get to Nina in a minute, but we're going to get to the drama. So Usnavi had a date with Nina, well, with Vanessa, Nina, and Benny. They all went to this club. And the club scene was, you know, basically, and Usnavi, as much drip as he had, and he even had that dope-ass hat on, the derby hat.
That was his pop's hat.
Exactly. And that's what hit me a little bit hard and home, too. So he's in the club, and he's nervous as shit. He was talking fast. He was like, I like what they've done with the place, and the music's really good, and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, I can't believe we're here, and I've been working so hard at the store. I don't have time to go to the club. And Vanessa's like, chill. You got this. Just give me a drink.
Word.
So then he screwed up. See, here's where he screwed up. This is what made me go, like, nah, it's not you trying to charm her. You should be the one dancing with her. He let some dude dance with her. Betty was like, yo, what you doing? Like, what's going on with you? And then he met, now, heck, you got to feel me in here. He tried to flirt with old girl to make her jealous. And she was like, no, I'm playing Grace. And he was like, yeah. Why was he so hyped about that?
Because now he ain't got to talk to her.
Okay. So
all he don't got to talk to her. He ain't got to spit game. Now all he got to do is just dance.
Okay. So that's what happened. And she kind of rocked his world a little bit.
But it was just so dumb because literally, even after all of that happened, he basically was like, Vanessa just kept telling him, like, yo, come dance with me. He's like, you want another drink? I'll get you another drink. He just made it so awkward.
Yeah, he did. Like, she really wanted to spend time with him.
Word. And then the blackout hit.
Now, the blackout
hit are differences. We are skipping a very big, big scene before the club.
Okay, what scene are we missing?
We're skipping the dinner scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, so the dinner scene happened before the... Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay,
right.
Go ahead. Let's talk about the dinner scene, bro. You got this.
The dinner scene is... To me, it's... At least for me, the dinner scene hit hella home. Like, this brought back memories from when I used to go to New York to go visit my great-grandparents. So, like, my great-grandparents are straight from the island. They're straight from Puerto Rico. And they had, like, the small little-ass house in Brooklyn. So, like, if you picture Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn is all these big-ass buildings and apartments and everything else. And, you know, you got, like, the trains and you got all this, the overpass. And then out of everything else that's, like, there is the small-ass one bedroom house,
right?
It's smack in the middle of Brooklyn. And that was my grandparents' house, my great grandparents. So it brought back that feeling, because when you see the scene, right, it's abuelita's there and she's cooking ropa vieja and she's got the rice on the stove, you know, and she's been cooking all day, because that's what, you know, even Usnavi tells Mr. Rosario, like, Abuela's been cooking all day, like, we're gonna eat. And that's when everything basically just, like, starts to unravel.
It really did. You know,
like, Rosario was talking about how when he came from Puerto Rico, you know, he didn't want to, you know, be working where his dad was working. So he came here and they had, like, he came here when he was 8 or something like that. And he started a business. And then before he knows it, you know, they had Nina, and then they started the car business and everything else. And basically what ends up happening is, before the dinner, Benny had walked in on Rosario talking to the guy from the cleaners.
Right.
That he had originally sold half of the building to.
Mm-hmm.
So Benny kind of like blew up the spot and said, yo, tell me that I didn't walk in on what I thought I did. So he basically tells him, he's like, you know, I guess we're doing it now. So he makes his grand speech about how Nina's, you know, she's gonna be the one, she's different, and she's gonna excel, and that he sold the business. He completely sold it.
Damn.
And, you know, he's taking the money, and he basically paid off the rest of Nina's tuition so she could finish school.
Yep.
And then when Nina comes out and says,
spits the truth at her. And this is when I was like, you really hit nerves.
Yeah. Like, she just let him have it. She's like, you know, I'm not going back. I'm out of place there. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in mi barrio. I'm supposed to be on the block. I'm supposed to be here working with you. I'm supposed to be helping you grow the business. You know, I'm a foreigner in that school. They don't care. Like, they see me and they see me different. I'm not, this isn't my world. Like, my world is here and you know, in the Heights. Over there, they accused me of stealing some chick's pearl necklace, and meanwhile, it was sitting in her bag. But they searched my entire room. And he's like, why didn't you tell me this or anything else? And then basically, it just broke into a fight. Nina storms off. Benny goes after her. But it's just like, there was so much going on. And then, you know, he's just like, at that point, he just had it. And he was like, you know what? He's like, yeah. He's like, whoa, like, everything's done. Everybody get out. Like, get out of my house. Like, I've had it. Like, I don't want to deal with this shit today. And then that's when we get to the club scene. And then right in the club, like, when Usnavi just basically
shit the bed.
Put this, like, yeah, he shit the bed, bro. Like, he basically foobarred the whole dance.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, the blackout hits.
Yep. Now, there are varying differences between the blackout that happened in the musical and the blackout that happened in the movie. The blackout in the musical, shout out to Jess again, because she filled me in, because She's seen this musical a bunch of times and actually performed it when she was younger. From what happens in the blackout in the original, Benny and Nina don't see each other in that whole thing. Like, they don't catch up with each other. They don't have that, okay. I got to save the business and I got to help people because, you know, people need help getting around and stuff like that. That didn't happen. Or it was Usnavi and Vanessa. One of the couples don't meet up and the whole arguments between the two don't happen. So that was something different. Then Sonny and Graffiti Mike, that's his name, right? Graffiti Mike. Originally, remember they were talking about using the bottle rockets and fireworks to light up the sky so people could see. Nah, it was because they were going to use those to fend off the store from being broken into by a gang. And they used those to defend everything. Now, here's something else, and I told Heck this before we jumped on. Okay, so this scene is very difficult. Especially for me and especially for Heck. So I'm going to say what happened in the musical and then we're going to talk about what happened in the movie. So Usnavi was worried about Abuela. So he runs home. And Abuela tells him, you know, that whole scene where everybody's all together. So that didn't happen. Abuela tells him about the money. And she's like, I won. Here's the money. Can you guard this with your life? Because she knows people were looting all over the place during the blackout, but he stayed home with Abuela and the whole night. Like, he stayed with her, and then the situation that we're going to get into in the movie happened later. So that was one of the differences. So, Heck, do you want to explain what happens in the movie version, or do you want to split it?
I'll do it.
Okay.
So basically everyone after the blackout hits, right? Like, everyone knows where to meet up. So everyone goes back to Abuela's house. Now, Abuela's pretty much been like the matriarchy of the entire block. You know what I'm saying? Like, when she grew up, and you know, she basically helped raise everyone there. And that's why everyone looks at her as Abuela, you know. You know, the girls from the salon come, Usnavi shows up, Sonny's there, and basically they already know what they're doing. So, like, they take their cell phones, they put the flashlight on, and they're putting little glasses on top of them and everything else. They start playing bingo, you know what I'm saying? Like, normal shit you would do, like, in a blackout, like, you start playing games or whatever. You know, Abuela's starting to feel some type of way, so she goes and she wants to lay down. And she's laying down, and then she's just seeing everyone in her apartment and how they're having a good time and they're carrying on and everything. And then you get this whole scene where she talks about how when she was growing up and how her mom used to work and clean and everything else. And, you know, then she talks about her coming to the U.S. And then it all culminates to a certain scene where she's there and she's looking back, and then she looks forward, and it's basically like if she was exiting the subway. But when she exits the subway, there's a huge light at the end. And it's basically her asking her mom if it's okay for her to go. Like, is it her time? Like, is she okay to go? So when that happens, she finally closes her eyes and she passes away. Now, to everyone else, you know, they just think that she's, you know, she took a nap or she's, you know, she's going to sleep for the night. Usnavi knows something's up because when he goes over to her, he's like, Abuela. It clicked. And that's when he was like, someone call 911. And then the girls are like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, ¿qué pasa? And he's like, call 911. And he's yelling and he's saying it over and over again. And that's when it clicks for everyone that Abuela passed away. And that scene hits. It hits hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit hard for you, I know. It definitely hit hard for me. And it hit Carmen. You know, 2019 going into 2020, we've said it time and time again, it's been a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of downs. We did have some ups, but, you know, you lost your grandmother at the end of 2019. Carmen's grandmother passed in 2020, and so did mine. And to see that scene, it really just brought up a lot of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I say it hit home for us.
Yeah.
And it kind of just sucks.
Yeah, it definitely hit on personal levels for both of us. What made the scene even more like emotional for me, and it's when the, okay. So when the neighborhood pretty much comes together for her and they start singing, and it's just a real somber moment in the movie. And, you know, it was just really touching to see that.
Yeah.
But in the musical, from what I was told, Usnavi doesn't know for like hours. Like, he just stays there. He doesn't know for hours. He stayed with Abuela the whole night. So he thinks she just went to bed. Hours go by. He didn't realize. So either way, it would have been an emotional, very emotional scene.
Yeah. For
both of us. But yeah, you know what? Let's move a little bit further on. So Sunny is this one pivotal character that we find out about, and he just like he wants to change the neighborhood. He wants the neighborhood to flourish. He wants to grow, and he goes to this rally with
Nina,
and they're talking about undocumented, and then we learn the big secret. But we had kind of figured it out when Usnavi met with his uncle, who was played by Mark Anthony of all people, surprisingly, and did not see that shit coming. Really didn't.
So the ironic part about all of this is Mark Anthony's Puerto Rican. He's playing a Dominican uncle and dad. And I'm sitting there going, wait, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I guess. Yeah, that works. But he basically lets it slip because he asks Usnavi. He's like, you know, you're asking me if you could take him back to DR. That you want him to work at the bar with you. He goes, let me ask you something. How do you pay Sonny? And he's like, I pay him in cash. He's like, did you ever think to yourself, why are you paying him in cash only? And then it clicks.
Mm.
It clicked for Usnavi.
Yeah.
And that's just because Sonny is undocumented.
Right.
Which to me is, it's not a crazy concept, because in, you know, with everything that we've seen on the news and everything else, you constantly hear the story of, you know, people coming here and being actually undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's so many kids who've grown up thinking that they have documents. So when you see Sonny and Nina at the rally, and then you see Sonny get pissed, and he's like this just like real like somber moment where he just walks away. And then Nina's looking at him like, yo, like, why are you so upset? She's talking about her niece who can't go to college
because
she doesn't have paperwork. And then she looks at Sonny, and Sonny's looking at her like he doesn't say anything. And to Nina, it clicked. And she's like, damn. So it's so much that goes on.
It's a lot. It's a lot in the movie that
it's
goes
a lot.
On. And, you know, it's like Nina found it. Like, once you said, like you said, it clicked for her. So what Nina decides to do is she decides to go back to Stanford, but her true calling, and she tells her father this, is like she wants to help undocumented immigrant children. Like, that's what she wants to do.
Right.
And
she's going to take the opportunity that he's giving her.
Yeah, exactly. So she found her dream. This is where everybody starts to figure themselves out and find where they're supposed to be at in their life.
Right.
So Usnavi and Vanessa still aren't talking to each other, especially after what happened after the blackout.
Right.
And she comes to check him out, and he's like, they get into another argument and she leaves. He finds the rental application, because earlier in the story, she was trying to find a place to go. Like, she had found this dope spot. And come to find out, they wouldn't take her because of a credit check, and she needed like a co-signer and all that. So Usnavi finds I like how he found it. So he finds the ticket that Abuela hid in like a little jar thing. And he starts going back, and he's like, nah, you didn't do this. Like, nah. And it says for Usnavi on the ticket. And he's basically like, oh shit, I gotta handle my business now. Like, he thought of everything he needed to do, and he put others ahead of himself. Like, he was still gonna have enough time to do things for himself, right. But he wanted to do for Sunny and Vanessa.
Right.
So
wanted to make sure everyone was straight before he left.
Exactly. So what he did was he went to Daniela. And, you know, Daniela was getting ready to move out of her salon anyway. So they were going about to where were they going? To Queens?
No, they were going to the Bronx.
Right. Okay. So they were going to the Bronx.
She was telling all of her patrons. She's like, you guys are complaining about where I'm moving down to. Meanwhile, all you got to do is just hop on the train, go 3 stops, and boom, you're there. And it's nothing but a 10-minute train ride.
Right.
To go from Washington Heights to the Bronx, and it's like a 10-minute train ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was. So,
she was like, you know, everyone's up and leaving Washington Heights anyway, but you guys can't take a 10-minute train ride down to the Bronx to come and see me to get your hair done. You guys don't make no sense.
Word. Word. And he does it for her. Vanessa shows up, finds out he did it. Usnavi is intent on leaving. He's like, yo, I'm out. Like, I got to go. Like, this is literally like, what, the last day before of?
Because all of the pennies that he's already saved up to this time was for him to buy a sueñito, which was his father's bar in DR.
Mm-hmm.
And his sueñito, his little dream was to go back home and run the bar. So he had already paid the lawyer to buy the property and everything. It was done. The deal was signed. So he looks at the ticket and he's like, I got one more thing I gotta do. He goes and sees the lawyer and he's like, look, I want you to take the money and I want you to pay for Sonny. I want you to pay the legal fees and everything else to get him his paperwork. Like, he wants to stay here. He doesn't want to go back to DR. He's like, that's fine. He goes, I'm going to make sure this happens. He goes, can you just take the ticket as payment and put it towards, pay whatever fee you're going to take, but then the rest of the money put towards his court fees, you know, the case and everything.
Right.
But he's like, you know, normally I take checks or cash. And he's telling him, he's like, look, if I could, I would have cashed in the ticket already. And he's like, but I'm on a time crunch. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, it's up to him. He goes, if he's ready to go through 5 months or 5 years, however long it's going to take for the court, you know, to decide on whether or not he can get his, you know, his residency and everything else, and he can become documented, that's on him. So he, you know, Sonny kind of looks at him and goes, you know, like, what are you doing? And I was like, that's 96 G's, bro. Like, what are you? He's like, don't worry about that. He goes, are you ready to fight? Do you want this? Yes or no? And he's like, I want to fight. He was like, all right, then it's done. Give him the ticket, and that's where it starts for Sonny.
And we see that he's just, you know, intent on leaving. Nina, we're going to jump to the end of the movie, and then we're going to jump back to this. So Nina pretty much lets Benny know that she's headed back to Stanford, and her and Benny have like this cool, I call it the Spider-Man moment of the film, where they like, it's word, a beautiful number, but they're like dancing on the rooftop and no one notices this. Like, except the one kid, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, basically, like, what in an Inception hell?
Yeah. But there was a beautiful moment between them. Benny promises he'll catch up with her. Like, he'll find a way to get to her, and they kiss.
Right.
So then Usnavi's getting ready to go through his day. And I feel like this was the reprise of the song again, right, in the beginning. So he's basically running through everything again. Vanessa shows up, and they have a discussion, and he literally is telling her, like, I'm leaving. I gotta go. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, stay. Please stay. And she kisses him, and he's just like, I'm out. Sorry.
Yeah.
And the last day,
she's telling him how she's moved down to her spot.
Exactly.
And she hasn't been able to sew a stitch because she hasn't found any type of inspiration for her to start.
Exactly. Guys, this was turning into like a short review. We're giving you basically the spoilers to the movie. So if you haven't seen it, please go see it. Please check this movie out. If you've listened this long, it's your fault.
Seriously. And at this point, if you're not going to go to the theater to watch it, just fucking turn on your HBO Max and watch it.
Exactly.
It's there. It's currently playing in the house right now. It's in the background.
Yeah, literally. It's up there to July 11th. You guys got to July 11th to watch it. So you basically have a month. And then Usnavi's basically getting ready to go. And he changes his mind after Big Hack's favorite song in the movie goes down.
I'm sorry. I have to interject really quick. I'm getting messages from the wife.
Okay.
She is saying everyone needs to get out their asses and go support this film. Go to the movies. Make this one number one in the box office.
It can't. It, like, I hate to say this. We're going to break it here. I looked it up. It sucks that I found out that it didn't even make a dent. Like, it made like $11 million in the theaters because of Quiet Place 2, which is a very good movie because Quiet Place 1 was dope.
Right.
Was killed it in the box office, like destroyed it.
That's fine. You still got time.
Still got time to catch up. Or stream it heavy on HBO Max. Stream the shit out of it on HBO Max.
Look, this is going to be on repeat in this house.
Yeah, until it goes away July 11th and then comes back like
three. But everyone, if you can get down to the theater, you know, the lifting restrictions and everything, you know, if you want us to wear a mask, please go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. But get down to the theaters to support this movie. This movie was amazing.
Fantastic. But
we're going to keep going with the film.
Yes. So go ahead, Hack. Close it out, bro.
So we're now getting to the scene where everyone's pretty much like in the back of their buildings, right? So it all comes down to like this little, it's almost like a courtyard type of scene that you can see. And a courtyard, like in, you know, like an apartment complex courtyard. Everyone's there and, you know, everyone's hot because of the blackout. There's no AC. There's nothing going on. So the girls at the salon, they're getting ready to leave and not anyone is there to see them off. So she's like, you know what? This sucks. So she goes in the back and she sees everyone in the back. And they're basically just chilling. They're trying to stay cool. They're fanning themselves and everything else. And she's like, what if this, don't daddy and I see in the back? You guys act like, you know, just because there's no power, like we haven't been through this. And a big musical number kicks off. And basically the musical number that kicks off is the Carnaval del Barrio, which is one of my favorite songs in this whole entire thing. And you see everyone gets sucked. You start dancing. Then Vanessa comes out of nowhere and she's like, you know, we're powerless. You know, basically saying like, we can't change anything. Like, power's out. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going to change. Then Sonny kicks in and he's saying the same thing. And then it's Daniela, right?
Yeah.
She comes over and she's like, you're saying we're powerless. Like, you guys act like we haven't been through this before. Like, we haven't overcome. Like, we haven't gone through all of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, this is nothing new. Like, we overcome. We continue. We strive. And then you see Usnavi kicks in. And he's like, yeah, so what? We're powerless. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and put your head in the sand and you're not going to keep on moving? Like, yo, that's not what we're about. And then the song keeps going. And then basically it's just like really uplifting. Like, everyone's just like, you know, like, rep where you're from. Throw your flags in the air. You know, just represent. And I couldn't help it. But like, then Manuel starts getting in there. And he's like, get one me, the bandera. And I'm just going, oh, shit, here we go. And everyone just starts dancing and everyone's kicking in. And it's like, it's so moving when you see it.
Yeah.
And then just before you think everything's going to end, boom, the power kicks back on. And then they start cheering and everything else.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, it's like a real like great moment. And just before you think he's going to leave, right? Like, what's now, he's like, yeah, that's it. It's like, oh, like, I already packed up all my shit. Like, I got a 7-5 flight out of JFK. I'm going to DR. Vanessa grabs him. And she takes him to the bodega. And the bodega's all taped up. Like, you can't see anything. And she says, close your eyes. I'm going to show you something. Like, stop moving your eyes. I can feel you moving them. Like, keep them closed. So she says, okay. He says, all right. She pulls him into the bodega, and then she like open them, and you see the bodega has been completely redone. There's a mural on the wall of the beach where his dad had a sueñito. There's things that just remind him of everything from the block in the Heights. You know, there's even a graffiti saying from Abuelita, paciencia y fe, patience and faith. And he's like, yo, like, when did you guys have time to do this? He was like, what is the graffiti artist's name?
His name was Graffiti, hold on.
Graffiti Mike.
Graffiti Mike.
He was like, yo, he goes, she saw one of my drop cloths and she's like, I need more. So we came in here and she just...
Oh, my bad. Graffiti Pete. It was Graffiti Pete.
There you go. Bad. Thank you. He was like, she needed more drop clothes. So I just started painting. And he was like, but where did you get the photos of my dad's beach? And he was like, I remember them. You had them scattered all over the place. And before you know it, she's like, you want to see what I see through my eyes? Like, this is what it is. And before you know it, he's like, yo, go make the announcement. Sonny, here, look. Here's some money, make the announcement, tell everyone I'm not leaving. He's like, I'm staying. And then it kicks off into another number. And basically how it started with him talking to like these 4 or 5 kids, and you thought he was on the island in DR, it was basically the bodega that he has.
Right.
Had been remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
And the little girl that was there that he's constantly talking to, which is his daughter, she was like, oh, can I go out and play with them? And he's like, you don't ask me. He's like, habla con tu mamá. He was like, talk to her. Talk to your mom. And you see Vanessa come. And she's like, go ahead. And that's where it kicks off into a big musical number.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the Heights, guys. That was in the Heights. A great movie. Oh shit, I almost forgot. Okay, we gotta talk about this. All right.
Okay.
So the Piragua guy was okay. There are two very cool Easter eggs we forgot to mention. So Here are the two.
Sorry, I'm laughing so hard.
Explaining, laughing about these with Big Heck, like, is the funniest thing ever. Because we love Hamilton. Mm-hmm. So, Lin-Manuel Miranda played the Piragua guy. And what happened was, originally, he wasn't even supposed to be in. The guy with the whole song was supposed to be cut. And because in the musical, that song was used as a break. So, these are all theater terms I'm learning. I'm so cool now. this song was used as a filler song, so like actors could get a break, get some water, have a wardrobe change,
right?
So they didn't feel it would fit, so the director John M. Chu was like, yo, they don't want to include it, but Lin-Manuel Miranda was like, nah, we need that song. So John M. Chu says, yo, I got an idea, you might not fuck with it, but I got an idea. You know how they won't cut the song, and they know, you know why they won't, how they won't cut the whole act person playing them? If you do it, he's like, shit. So
if you play the Piragua guy.
You play the Piragua guy. Now, that's not the only Hamilton cameo besides Anthony Ramos, who played Usnavi. We had another cameo from, let me make sure I get the actor's name right, because I don't want to be an asshole and screw this up. Because when we talk about movies, sometimes I like to be on point. Christopher Jackson was the Mr. Softy truck driver. They have like a long-standing beef all summer, which is true. I know this is like full fact. This is like legit. We live in an urban area, so this is pure facts. The Piragua guys hate the ice cream dudes and vice versa. They can't agree at all. So Christopher Jackson, for those of you who know, he plays George Washington in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a beef. And in the movie, one of the mid scenes in the movie is that, you know, he's talking shit to him and he's like, I run this block. So Mr. Softy's ice cream truck breaks down. This is a post-credit scene. He comes and starts singing that Piragua song like again and ups the price and tells Mr. Softy, I run this block, and then gives him a Piragua at the end of it.
And then he hands him a cup.
Yeah, he was like, here.
And he's like, thank you. They taste a sip, and he's like, oh, wow, it's really good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm sorry. It's just delicious. Every time I would go to the store or walk around the neighborhood and they were out, the Piragua lady, I don't give a damn. I'm getting one.
And like, I don't care what anyone says. I would rather have on a super hot day, I would rather have an ice cold Piragua over an ice cream.
Facts.
Hands down. And the one thing you gotta love about the Piragua guy is that when he comes around, it's, you got your choices, and my man's got all the flavors. Like, my man is a walking Baskin Robbins. He got well over 30 flavors.
Hell yeah.
On the ice. Hell yeah. And what does he do? He's got one big ass block of ice, and he's just shaving the ice off, puts it in the cup, and he's like, what flavor you want? And he goes, I got China, I got strawberry, I got piña colada, I got this, I got that. And you just take your flavor, and yo, normally you only pay like $1.25, $1.50. But forget it, yo. Like, that was just such a good movie.
It was so good. It was so, so good. So, all right, Heck, I'm going to ask you, but it's kind of obvious.
Yes.
What are you rating this movie out of five?
Easily five stars.
Easily five stars.
Easily five stars.
I'm going to say this is the consensus vote here, and we both agree this is a five-star movie. Please go check it out at your local theater if you can, if you're wearing a face mask. I know restrictions have changed. If you want to be safe, you be safe. Enjoy the movie. Have fun. It's a good time. It's a great spirited movie. If you don't want to leave home and you want to enjoy the movie from the comfort of your home, you have until July 11th on HBO Max to enjoy it. Any closing words?
Best movie of the year. Definitely a banger for the summer.
Exactly. And it's not a superhero movie, so this is different for us to talk about, but we just had to hop on the mic and talk about it with y'all. We had to.
It was like, I gotta say it. Lin-Manuel Miranda has literally up the scales for anything that is musical related.
Yes, sir.
Like, we saw trailers for, when we went to go see this, he finally showed trailers for West Side Story. And I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, I'm probably, me and the wife are probably going to go on and watch West Side Story, right?
Mm.
Purely just to support the girl, the leading actress in the film, because she's a Jersey native who's out of Clifton.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be real with you. I don't even think that film is going to even touch the level that In the Heights is at.
Absolutely not.
And that whole film was filmed in Patterson.
Yep.
Where we're from.
Yep. And guess what? Still not In the Heights. So
still not sorry. In the Heights.
Sorry, it is what it is. In the Heights is dope. So go check it out. Go check it out. Heck, I'm gonna let you get into it because I know you like to close, brother. You like to close us out with the most lavish and dramatic synopsis of everything. So yeah, let me slip into this real quick. This special episode of Big Heck and Wade Adventures is brought to you in the midnight hour.
Literally in the midnight hour.
Literally the midnight hour. Want to dedicate this episode to all the loved ones out there. We appreciate you listening to us, you know.
I think it was smooth and sensual. The R&B flow right now is so real.
Girl.
Yo, what the hell was it on the radio? They used to call it the Quiet Storm.
Yeah, this is a smooth Mac Daddy chocolate. You're listening to the Quiet Storm. And then Johnny Gill would just come in. Ooh,
yeah. Ooh. Oh Lord.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, on that note. Jeez. All right. Back to some seriousness. All right. So that pretty much wraps up our episode, wraps up our mini review of In the Heights. Like always, just a reminder, make sure you listen to Big Heck Wade Adventures on all major streaming platforms. And again, reminding everyone that coming soon, we will be launching our YouTube channel. Also, want to make sure you guys are fully aware, which we kind of make sure we make it a point on every episode, that we are part of an amazing network called the Fourth Wall Pop Network, where we like to hashtag make it pop. And not only can you listen to us and find us on the Fourth Wall, but we have some amazing and phenomenal shows also that you can catch and listen to, such as New Normal Wrestling, Pop Sports Shorts, The Crossroads, Getting Grilled, Pop Culture Collective, Views from Up Here, and one of our newest shows, The Smoking Jays Podcast. So make sure you look for us on all major streaming platforms. You can find Big Heck and Wade Adventures, and you can also find the Fourth Wall Pop Network on all major streaming platforms. Now where you can find me, you can find Big Oosie Juicy, AKA Big Heck, on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok at Big Heck 217. If you can figure out my government name, which I'm pretty sure you can't, I'm on Facebook also. But we don't disclose government names here.
Not here.
No, I don't care if it's a Quiet Storm or if it's noisy ass traffic. We're not doing that.
Not on this show.
So, Brother Wade, where can he find you?
Ha, okay. I am a man of many podcasts and many networks, but we're going to do the streaming. We're going to do the socials first. Okay, so if you'd like to find me on Instagram, it is at Wade Ilson with an underscore. You will usually find me posting memes or pictures of my dog or my lovely, lovely partner. And also my cool nieces and my good brother. You can also find me on Twitter at Wade Olson. I am part of not only this lavish show that you are currently listening to on the Fourth Wall Pop Network, Big Heck and Wade Adventures. I am one third of another show on the Fourth Wall Pop Network called New Normal Wrestling, where we talk all things wrestling. all over. And guys, guess what? I just did a very cool 15 minute time limit interview with current Knockout star in Impact Wrestling. She's crushing the game right now, Jordynne Grace. And also, geez, I feel like I'm doing so much. I'm sorry.
You have spread yourself.
I have quite a bit. I am one third of a very, very fun podcast. Not as much fun. It's fun. I just love doing podcasting. It's pretty much my life now. I am one third of an amazing trio. Shout out to RJ and Jess. We talk about women's wrestling and women's wrestling only as part of the Silver Sight Network with a show called Women Can Wrestle. We recently just did our episode talking about the week of wrestling. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about what's going to be going on, especially what happened after TakeOver and what will be happening for this week's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. So go check us out. It's available on all podcast streaming platforms and on YouTube. So there's some YouTube videos out there. Go check out the Silver Sight on YouTube. That's pretty much all I got.
All right. So guys, really quick, just a couple of more, a little bit more info before we go. We do have our own very own merchandise store. If you head on over to tpublic.com/BigHackWade, you can find some lavish merchandise with our lovely logo on there. We also uploaded some new designs on there as well, so make sure you take advantage and you get yourself some t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs if you guys love to drink coffee like we do. We have carrying cases, you know, phone cases, laptops. Summertime's coming, so you might want to get a tank top.
I already ordered one.
Oh, I know you did. And again, all of that's available on our website, our merchandise website, which is tpublic.com/BigHackWade. One more other thing I'd like to announce is, and I forgot to do it on our previous episode, is we have partnered up and we are an affiliate with Otaku Academy. Now, if you head on over to otaku.academy and use the promo code BigHackWade10, you can save 10% on your order. They have some amazing, lavish-looking anime merchandise. And if you go there now, you can still pre-order your Demon Slayer basketball jerseys. Yes, even though basketball jerseys used to be a thing of the past where you used to rock it, we are now bringing it back in style with anime. So you can get Demon Slayer basketball jerseys. They're available on otaku.academy. Don't forget, use our link in our bios, which is on our link tree, that you can find on Instagram and on Twitter. And that link will take you directly to otaku.academy, and you can use our promo code BigHackWade10 to save 10% on your order. And with that, we're going to wrap up the show. We thank you guys for listening to us, hearing us geek and nerd out over in the Heights. Again, it's in theaters. It's available on HBO Max till July 11th. Get up, get your asses out there, go watch this film, stream it left and right all day long if you have to, listen to the music, get into it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to end this episode like we always end an episode, and that is with a peace, a salute, and we're out.
Later.
I'm seeing on the street. I never thought I'd see the day. Since when are Latin people scared of heat? When I was a little girl growing up in the hills of Vega Alta, my favorite time of year was Christmas time.
Ask me why.
Why?
There wasn't an ounce of snow, but oh, the coquito would fly. As we sang the Aguinaldo, the carnival would begin to grow. Business is closed, and we're about to go. Let's have a carnival del barrio.
Epa!
Carnaval del barrio. Carnaval. El barrio, carnaval,
carnaval
del barrio.
Barrio.
carnaval, carnaval del barrio.
Barrio.
We don't need electricidad. Get off your butt, avanza. Saca la maraca, bring your tambourine. Come and join the parranda. Hey, carnaval. Whatever comes into your head, just so long as you sing.
Oh, my mom is Dominican Cuban. My dad is from Chile and PR, which means I'm Chile Dominican. But I always say I'm from Queens.
Hey! Carnaval.